You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we are back with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I'm your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, and we are back here. It is Purple Friday, a divisional round Purple Friday here for the Baltimore Ravens as they take on the Buffalo Bills in the divisional round here. After beating the Tennessee Titans in the wild card round 20-13, they have a new challenge ahead. And here with us to digest that wild card win against the Titans for Baltimore and talk about our full game preview for the upcoming Buffalo Bills matchup for the Ravens is Matthew Stevens of Ravens Wire. Matthew, the Ravens getting their first playoff victory since the 2014-2015 season. Last Sunday, they were able to really overcome a slow start, 10-0 deficit, and Baltimore comes out victorious. How are you doing today?
I am feeling great this week. It's nice to get that one win. You know, the nerves are now gone. Now everything else is just icing on the cake, and I think the Ravens feel the same way. So hopefully we see them come out maybe a little sharper this week to open up the game. And hopefully we're talking about the AFC Championship game next week.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the Ravens, you know, this was a game that they really, really wanted to have this wild card matchup against Tennessee. Tennessee shows disrespect to them early in the season, breaking down on their logo. You know, this was a game where Baltimore is also looking for revenge. Tennessee beating Baltimore in the divisional round last year, where Baltimore is the number one seed. Tennessee comes into M&T Bank Stadium and just upsets them flat out, just plays better than Baltimore for a full 60 minutes. Then earlier this season, they beat Baltimore after disrespecting them on Baltimore's logo. So they come out with fire, with passion, with energy, and they need that same energy. You know, the Ravens had a lot of motivational factors against Tennessee, but in this Buffalo game coming up, they're going to have to play with that same fire, even though the Bills have not disrespected the Ravens or done any of that, or there's no, I guess, rivalry like there is with the Titans. But Matthew, with Lamar Jackson in this game against Tennessee, 17 of 24, 179 yards, no touchdowns, one interception passing, and 16 carries for 136 yards and a score. It was a slow start for the whole Baltimore team, Jackson included. How did you think Lamar Jackson responded to that slow start, and what did he do to lead Baltimore to victory?
Well, I think the big things, the things that we hadn't seen last year in that playoff game, which is, you know, you got down early, but you stick with it. You stick with your scheme. You play Ravens football. You do not give that up. And Lamar Jackson continued to remain settled. He didn't get flustered by the fact that they were down. He didn't start trying to make a ton of big plays. He didn't try to carry the team by himself. And when that happened, you saw everything kind of start working around him. The offense starts picking up rhythm. And then all of a sudden, the defense starts doing what it does. And everything kind of revolves around his confidence. So I'm sure there's X's and O's that went behind all of that. But the reality was, I think Baltimore does not win that game if Lamar Jackson does not settle down in the second quarter and start playing better football.
The whole Ravens team, they settled down. You know, they're down 10-0, and, you know, you hear all the pundits and the media members saying, oh, man, well, here we go again. And it even started to feel that way a bit, even within the Ravens fan base and maybe even a few Ravens media members. But Baltimore did not get down on themselves. They were able to come back and really play a nice game from the second quarter and on. But Matthew, the Ravens run game, 6.7 yards per carry, 35 carries for 236 yards. But it seemed like Tennessee did have somewhat of a game plan that rendered some Baltimore rushers and rushes ineffective. They were getting to the edges. They were playing disciplined football. And towards the end of the game, as the game was going on, the Ravens started to find that success, but it was a struggle early on. So what did Greg Roman and the rest of this Ravens offense do on the ground to be able to overcome that slow start?
Well, you know, we were actually talking about it during the game, and we were all kind of pegging what we were seeing that was going wrong. A lot of that was Baltimore's trying to force it right up the middle when it came to the ground game. And Tennessee was loading up the box, like, solely in the middle. Between the hash marks was the entire Tennessee Titans team. Once Baltimore and Greg Roman more specifically went, you know what, we should probably run to the outside, the Titans had no clue what to do. Baltimore is surprisingly fast to the edges. They've got some great agile guards out there that can go ahead and pull and get some good blocks out in front. And they've got Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, two surprisingly fast running backs that not only keep their speed around the edge, but also carry that power with them. So a lot of the times when they were hitting the edges, they were getting a guy in front of them, a blocker in front of them, and they were able to go up against defensive backs, and a defensive back wants nothing to do with Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, as we saw throughout that game. That was the key. And then you flip it, Tennessee starts trying to go ahead and contain the edges a little bit better, and that's when you saw them start to hit right up the middle over and over and over again. Things start to work in there, as well as the pass game starting to pick up a little bit of momentum there. So it really was just countering what Tennessee was doing, you know, which was just load up, let's force Lamar Jackson to go ahead and beat us with his arm. And it turns out, didn't really even need to do that. It's just, you got to defend the edges better than what they were doing.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree with you, Matthew. But moving on to the other part of Baltimore's offense, which is that pass game. I know someone you really like on this Ravens offense is Marquise Brown. And he showed up in this game, 7 receptions for 109 yards. It seemed like Tennessee was really honing in on stopping Mark Andrews and making sure Andrews wasn't a big part of Baltimore's success. Andrews only had 4 receptions for 41 yards. What did you see out of Marquise Brown? It seems like he, over the course of the first 2 playoff games of his young career, has shown up in both of those games. So what did you see out of Marquise Brown that might have been a bit different than when he was struggling early on in the season?
Well, I think when we go back to earlier in the season, you know, Marquise Brown was jogging some routes. He was not always putting his whole effort into things. He was ducking out of bounds when it looked like somebody could come down and hit him. So he was just having some of those small things that make a difference in a player's trajectory and in their development and in how they do in a game. We were seeing some of those things that he wasn't doing earlier this season. Over the last really 5 or 6 games, Marquise Brown has been significantly better in those areas. We're seeing him put a lot more effort in. We're seeing him learn how to change his pace before the catch while he's running a route and after the catch. A little bit of stutter steps, a little bit of changing your speed can throw a defensive player off their angle, and then all of a sudden you're going to the house for a touchdown. And then more importantly, we saw Baltimore stop trying to use him like he's Torrey Smith and instead use him like the all-around athlete that he is. So we were seeing a lot more shorter passes and him taking those up the seam instead of ducking out of bounds. So really, I want to hand it to both Greg Roman for getting him more involved short yardage stuff. And I want to hand it to Marquise Brown for no other way to say this than manning up and just running inside, being willing to take his hits and pick up extra yards. And as we saw, you know, he had quite a few of them where he caught him behind the line of scrimmage and he turns it into a, you know, 20-yard gain. That's what we saw out of him last week that we hadn't seen out of him in the first half of the season, and why I was so down on him in the first half of the season.
Effort certainly plays a big part in NFL player success. And with the Ravens, with Marquise Brown, you know, the effort was coming into question. He wasn't, you know, you mentioned he was jogging routes, and there were a couple plays where Lamar Jackson throws him the football and he doesn't lay out for the ball when, you know, it seems pretty clear that he could have made an effort and the ball maybe hits him on the hand of an outstretched arm, whereas if he dives for the football, he makes that effort, then maybe he can come down with the football. So I've been really impressed as well with Marquise Brown and his development over these past couple of weeks. But Matthew, moving into the defensive side of the ball here before we get into our first break, the key storyline here, it's Derrick Henry. The Ravens holding Derrick Henry to 2.2 yards per carry, 18 carries for 40 yards. What did you see out of this Baltimore Ravens defense, and how were they able to pretty much render Derrick Henry ineffective?
Pernell McPhee. I'm just going to leave it at that, really. I mean, it was Pernell McPhee was blowing up that offensive line time and time and time again. What we saw was the defensive line as a whole, for sure, go ahead and do their jobs and really make sure that things weren't getting into the second level. So the linebackers could scrape down, they could plug into holes as they needed to, they could play the perimeter really well. Those guys up front, the defensive line, did a phenomenal job. And really, I as we kind of looked at this game beforehand, that was the one area that I predicted was going to really dramatically change with the addition of Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams from the regular season week 11 matchup to this one. Having those two guys back made all the difference. And in turn, you saw Tennessee try to pay a lot more attention to those two guys. And ultimately, Pernell McPhee was able to kind of just run around completely free back there and just make play after play after just dominate. And even when McPhee started getting additional looks, start getting chipped, start getting additional guys on him, he was still able to go ahead and blow through that. And in a lot of cases, single-handedly made plays that were really impressive. But again, the defensive line as a whole did what they needed to do, which was bottle him up at the line of scrimmage, close those gaps, and then let your linebackers do their job and not get hands on them, but go make plays. So phenomenal job there. And then again, Don Martindale also did a great job in dialing up some pressures, some run blitzes and the like, in an effort to, just mix things up and ensure that Tennessee didn't entirely know what was coming its way all the time and didn't really have a chance to change things up from quarter to quarter or half to half.
Yeah, the Ravens defense just put on a phenomenal, phenomenal performance on Sunday against the Titans. And really, the reason that the Titans offense, I think, wasn't able to do a lot of what they wanted to was because Derrick Henry was not a factor. The Titans had to rely on Ryan Tannehill to throw the football a little bit more, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but you would certainly like the play action to be a bit better. And when Derrick Henry is rolling and when he is gashing defenses, it certainly helps an offense or the Titans offense because, you know, the defense is going to want to bite up on that run, and then the Titans would kill you with play action. Whereas towards the end of the game, the Ravens were able to really sell out for the pass because they knew that Derrick Henry was not getting the football. But we're going to head into our first break now, and when we return, we'll be getting into our full game preview of this divisional round matchup between the Ravens and the Bills. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious with 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Built Bars are healthy, they're great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, and high-fiber. So be sure to go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off of your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. And we return with our second segment of this Locked On Ravens Purple Friday edition. Matthew Stevens here with me, Kevin Ostreicher. And Matthew, looking at this game, looking at this divisional round matchup, Ravens versus Bills, it's going to be a good game, a great game. These teams match up really well with each other. So starting off with the Baltimore offense, we talked about Lamar Jackson in the first segment, so let's start off by talking about him here in the second segment. This is a battle of the quarterbacks, it seems like, in Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, two really young stud quarterbacks. What would you like to see out of Lamar Jackson in this one as he hopes to knock off the Bills?
Well, I want to see a little bit more accuracy. I want to see him, again, settle down from the outset to not get too flustered early on and really do what he did to the Bills last time they faced off, which was just, you know, use that athleticism, make them chase you all over the field, and then find guys open on scrambles, pick up big yards when you can on the ground, and just carve up that secondary that, I'll be honest with you, is not great.
Yeah, I mean, for the Ravens, this Bills defense, you look at it, the secondary certainly has its playmakers. Tre'Davious White, you have Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, one of the best safety duos in the entire league. Josh Norman, Levi Wallace, some good corners as well. But the Ravens over recent weeks, their offense, it has been hitting on all cylinders. The run game, the pass game. Again, the pass game feeds off of the run game, and the run game feeds off of the pass game. So, Matthew, looking at the Ravens' run game, this Bills' run defense has not been spectacular this season. Meanwhile, Baltimore's rushing offense is the bread and butter of their offense. It's been another historic year for Baltimore on the ground. How often and how early do you expect Baltimore to start running the football? And obviously, Baltimore should continue to run it throughout the entire game. But what do you expect from a game plan perspective from Greg Roman in terms of the ground game?
Well, that is their bread and butter, as you mentioned. If they stop running it, there's a problem, and Greg Roman should be fired. I mean, I'll go right out and say that from the outset, regardless of the situation. if Baltimore is not running the football, at the very least on a 50-50 split, something terrible has happened and someone needs to be fired for it. So I think you come out and you start running immediately. You want to, and we covered this last week and really for every week this season, this offensive line does better when you let them get a start like that. When you allow them to be physical at the beginning of the game, they tend to remain physical throughout the game and you don't see as many errors. You don't see as many just whiffs on blocks. Their confidence gets built up. And this is a team that, you know, again, we talk about confidence with Lamar Jackson, but it's the case with the entire offense. When this offense has confidence, they march right down the field. The second that gets taken away from them, you start seeing mistakes. You start seeing them just not play as well as they normally do. So I want to get those bad boys out there and just, again, I say it every week, have each offensive lineman go buy his guy a beer. Just take him out into the stands every single play. You do that for a series or two, I guarantee you Buffalo is going to either A, start playing you differently, or B, go, you know what, we don't actually want any of this. Much like what we saw last year with Baltimore and Tennessee, you punch a team in the mouth, you're going to find out what they have.
Yeah, exactly. And even going back to Sunday against the Titans, I mean, yeah, it's seriously, the Ravens got punched in the mouth early in that game. What does Baltimore do? They don't care. They come out and they punch the Titans right back. They score, they bring off 10 consecutive points, and they tie the game at 10. So if the Ravens can get the momentum early, if they can make a statement early, it will go a long way, I think, in setting a tone that Baltimore can hold and being able to pick up that momentum and not let it get back to Buffalo. And look, starting early always helps. You never want to be, as a football team, down by any stretch of points. Especially, let's say the Bills get the ball in the second half. If Baltimore goes down early, they can't get the lead back before halftime, and Buffalo gets the ball back, that can sometimes be an issue. But what we have learned about Baltimore this season is that they will not quit. They will not stop fighting. So even if they do go down early, the whole narrative that, yeah, the Ravens need to get that first punch and get that first momentum to win the football game, you know, that's been proven false by the team. But Matthew, with the Ravens pass game, we talked about Marquise Brown, and I mentioned Mark Andrews. Those are the two guys on the Ravens offense that I'm sure Buffalo will be honing in on in this matchup. Brown and Andrews. Brown had 769 yards this season, Andrews 701. The next closest to those two, Willie Snead with 432. So in the pass game, those are Baltimore's go-to guys. Other guys can hurt teams, but it is Brown and Andrews who are the two playmakers. So, Matthew, if you're the Buffalo defense, if you have to choose to take one away, much like Tennessee did, they seem to hone in on Mark Andrews. Would you take away Marquise Brown or Mark Andrews from Lamar Jackson?
Mark Andrews. Unquestioned Mark Andrews. Not only is Andrews, over the course of Jackson's career, has typically been the go-to guy for Lamar Jackson, the guy he looks at immediately, the guy he looks at first. And while I don't necessarily buy that narrative that Lamar Jackson can't throw outside the numbers, he doesn't do it terribly often. And while Andrews can run outside the numbers, you're usually going to see him inside. You're going to see him inside the hash marks, you know, either doing crossing routes or going up the seam for a deep ball. That's the guy I want to take out. I want to take out the guy that's going to get 8 targets a game most often, and instead not let Brown go completely wide open. This isn't Sandlot football where you go, I'm just going to cover him. But to be able to kind of one-on-one with Brown, give him some space, either A, I would expect him to not have the same game that he had last week. And if he does start having that type of a game, then okay, maybe you bracket coverage him. Maybe you could start figuring some things out there. Buffalo would be in trouble if that happens, if both Andrews and Brown are clicking. But historically, Brown's not the guy that clicks. And I'd much rather take away the guy that I'm positive is going to, and that's going to be Mark Andrews.
Yeah, I completely agree. Andrews is somebody who just burns defenses. He takes advantage of matchups with linebackers and safeties. He's somebody who is a really versatile piece on Baltimore's offense. He's someone that Lamar Jackson trusts. He's almost Lamar Jackson's safety blanket in some instances. But Matthew, looking at an X factor here on offense, you know, kind of one of those unheralded guys for Baltimore. There are plenty of them. You know, we've talked about the quote-unquote big guns in Marquise Brown, Mark Andrews. I'm sure J.K. Dobbins classifies as that. Same with Gus Edwards. But who is an X factor for you on offense for Baltimore who might not be getting the same respect that those quote-unquote star-level players get?
I'm gonna point out a guy that I've been high on all offseason and into this season, has not panned out the way I expected him to, but Miles Boykin. We saw it last week. You know, they took a deep shot to him. Granted, ended in an interception, so maybe not the best guy to choose here. But Baltimore's been willing to throw him the ball a little bit more often than Lamar Jackson has. And we're seeing him get game planned in a little bit more, both on deep and shorter routes. The guy's got a big frame. He's got a big body. He can run pretty fast if you give him some space. So it's going to be a tough test for whoever's matched up on him. And if Buffalo runs man coverage, okay, then, you know, jump ball situation is usually where you're going to be at there. Or you tell Boykin, look, use your body, guard yourself here. We're going to use you on comeback routes. So that way we can just boom, 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 march down the field with those. Or they're giving you space, man. Let's go ahead and start doing things like slants and you know, out routes and things like that to where we can also get you involved there. But if somebody wants to go ahead and press Miles Boykin, Miles Boykin can take them for a ride if they try to go ahead and do that. And of course, then if you're at zone coverage, honestly, Boykin, that's not really a strong suit. That's where Brown and Andrews are going to come in at. Or for that matter, Lamar Jackson, if they don't have a spy on him, or if they don't have a spy that's good enough to carry him, Lamar Jackson's going to take off for yardage. So my X factor is going to be Miles Boykin. I think he has a chance for some really big things here, especially since the focus, I think, from Buffalo is going to be on this rushing attack. And then Mark Andrews primarily. I think Miles Boykin could have himself a decent game here. And all you need is one or two big completions to move the chains. And Boykin's going to have done his job. And you're going to be able to put up, you know, points in each series that he does that.
Yeah, Buffalo will certainly be keying in on Baltimore's rushing attack, which makes, you know, guys like Miles Boykin and my X factor, which I think is Des Bryant, you know, guys who are really important in this one. Bryant is someone who has not necessarily blown it away on the stat sheet, but he has provided a solid veteran presence and doesn't necessarily see a ton of snaps per game. But if he can capitalize on those snaps, for example, Lamar Jackson throws it to him on Sunday against Tennessee and he slips and falls. You know, the ball falls incomplete. If he can capitalize on some of his snaps, it can be really important just to move the chains for Baltimore, as you mentioned, and to be able to put up points on the board. But we're going to head into our final break now, and when we return, we'll be flipping the field and talking about the Ravens' defense going up against that Bills' offense. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. The NFL regular season is finished and the playoffs have begun. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we are back with our final segment of this Locked On Ravens Purple Friday edition episode. Kevin Allstreicher, your host, still here with Matthew Stevens of Ravens Wire. And Matthew, flipping the field and talking about this Bills offense going up against the Ravens defense. It all starts with Josh Allen. We talked about Lamar Jackson and how he is so important to the Ravens offense. Well, Josh Allen is mightily important to that Bills offense. 4,544 yards, 37 passing touchdowns compared to just 10 interceptions. Also 421 yards on the ground along with 8 touchdowns. And Matthew, Josh Allen, he has really ascended this season. You know, last year, the year before, he was still learning some things, kind of getting used to the NFL game, but he has turned it on this year, and he's really become a prime MVP candidate during the 2020 season. So, Matthew, if you're the Bills, you're trying to put up some points against this Ravens defense. How are you doing it with Josh Allen and the weapons he has at his disposal?
Well, I think one of the big things you got to look at with Josh Allen is he's good against the blitz. Especially this year. Allen has 15 touchdown passes and just two blitzes or in two picks against the blitz this season, according to NFL Next Gen stats. You know, that's phenomenal. The guy is great when he is able to get the ball out fast, and when he's able to when he's blitzed. That usually means for most defenses that you've left somebody open or you've left guys one-on-one in man coverage. They've got the talent to do it. I mean, you've got Diggs, you've got John Brown, which Baltimore knows very well. You got Cole Beasley in the slot, which, you know, I don't think he's a Pro Bowl player, but I think he's really, really good in the slot. You've got some serious talent there, and then you always have a running back out in the flat that could potentially do some damage there. So Josh Allen has a really good offensive system around him, and he's phenomenal when he's pressured. So you want to pressure him. You don't want to just leave him back there to carve up your defense, but you need to do so efficiently. You need to do so smart, because very much like Lamar Jackson, if you push him from one side, if you rush him from just one side and don't contain him, Josh Allen's more than likely to roll out and either make a big play with his arm out in space or to go ahead and power through and pick up some yardage there. And I know Don Martindale has said that you need to tackle him just like he's Derrick Henry. I think that's really apt. Josh Allen is not easy to bring down. And Baltimore has is used to that with Ben Roethlisberger. Granted, maybe not in the last few years, but they're familiar with having to tackle a big, stout quarterback who is capable of carrying a defender quite literally on his back at times. So I think you're going to need to see great defensive play out of these cornerbacks and out of the safeties. You're going to need to see Marcus Peters. You're going to need to see Marlon Humphrey and Jimmy Smith play outstanding football. Guys are going to need to get hands on Diggs and Brown, especially. You need to go ahead and have the linebackers, when they drop back into coverage, do a good job. I think the other big thing, this is going to be one of my keys on the game as a whole, is you need to mix up your coverages and you need to disguise them. If Josh Allen sees the same thing repeatedly, he is going to pick you apart. If he has no idea what he's looking at pre-snap or thinks that he does, and then it changes all on him, all of a sudden he's holding onto the ball an extra second or two longer than he needs to or wants to. And that's where you're able to get just coverage sacks. That's where you're able to get those types of big plays that happen. So I think that's one of the important things there is do not let Josh Allen figure out what you're doing on a play-by-play basis.
Yeah, it's going to be mightily important for the Ravens to be able to hone in on Josh Allen and stop him both through the air and on the ground. But Matthew, you mentioned that Josh Allen is really good against the blitz. He's really good against the blitz, and Don Martindale is one of the more aggressive defensive coordinators in the NFL. So looking at Don Martindale and what his game plan might be for this one, just how aggressive do you expect him to get in this one when it comes to blitzing? Or do you think he might back off of that? Because as you did mention, Allen has found success against the blitz this season.
Well, I think you look exactly what they did last week against Ryan Tannehill, who's also phenomenal against the blitz and also has a really good running back to help him out there, both in pass protection and as play action. So Josh Allen doesn't quite have that. Nothing against Devin Singletary, but he's not Derrick Henry by a long shot. Even if he was wearing a Derrick Henry wig, it wouldn't be Derrick Henry. So I think what you do is you load up the line of scrimmage. You go ahead and look like you're blitzing and then drop guys back into coverage after the snap. That's when you could start sending either delayed blitzes or start sending those guys, give him the same look two or three times, but do different things with it. I think that's what Don Martindale is going to have to do. And he did it well last week. We saw that against Tannehill. Ultimately, Tannehill finished the game 18 of 26, so 69% completion percentage, which is pretty solid. But that's Baltimore's defensive scheme as a whole. We'll come up and make that tackle for a few yards. They got one sack on him, but they pressured him quite a bit. More importantly, they got that one interception. So I think you do the same thing to Josh Allen. You hammer him often enough and you give him different looks, especially on the defensive line. You start bringing some of those linebackers up and then drop them back into coverage. And Baltimore can do that with Ngakoue and Judon, especially. LJ Fort is another guy that they'd probably do that with, McPhee as well. You start dropping some of those guys back into the flats or into the middle of the field. All of a sudden, Josh Allen now needs to try to read what's happening as the play is developing. That's really, really hard, especially if you start pushing your safeties more to the outside. That means Josh Allen's going to have to throw inside in the numbers where you're going to have a big crop of guys. That's when interceptions start to happen. So if I'm Don Martindale, that's what I want to do. I want to pressure him. I want to send blitzes. I want to make sure he feels those snaps. I want him to be cleaning off dirt off his butt on enough plays that when we look like we're going to go ahead and do it and drop guys back, he throws it right to one of my linebackers.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a chess match between Brian Daboll and Don Martindale in this game, and especially with the two quarterbacks on either side with Lamar Jackson, with Josh Allen. I mean, it's just going to be a chess match all the way around. But Matthew, with the Ravens, their corners versus Buffalo's wide receivers, I mean, it's going to be a huge matchup throughout the entire game. Stephon Diggs, Marlon Humphrey, John Brown, Marcus Peters, Cole Beasley, Jimmy Smith. I mean, the list goes on. At the end of the day, Matthew, how would you expect Don Martindale and this Ravens defense to match up corner-wise against the Bills and their wide receivers?
Man, when you look at it, I mean, Buffalo's offense is surprisingly built a lot like Kansas City. They've got a lot of outside speed. They've got a good slot guy who is just reliable inside. But John Brown and Stephon Diggs are tough to go ahead and defend deep. I think, you know, again, I think you need to get hands on them. I want to see Peters and Diggs' face all game long. I want to see Humphrey, again, maybe shading more toward the inside because that's where a lot of those passes are going to go to Cole Beasley. I want to see Deshaun Elliott is going to lay out Beasley or Diggs. I'm calling it right now. It's going to be ugly at some point. I want to see a lot of that. You just need to play them physically. They're, I don't want to say undersized, but they're undersized at wide receiver across the board. You get hands on them. You've got big physical quarterbacks in Peters, Smith, and Humphrey. Get hands on them so that way your pressure can get home to Josh Allen. And again, he has to now start looking elsewhere. He has to start looking at guys that he might not typically want to throw to. That would be your running backs. That would be your tight ends in Buffalo's system. So that's what I would want to do if I'm Don Martindale. Press the line of scrimmage, use your safeties, or at least one of your safeties, over the top in an effort to just give yourself a little bit of protection there, whether that be Clark or Elliott. Use them as kind of a midfielder, just so that way they can play both sides of the field a little bit. And then just when they make a catch, make sure those guys are getting up and limping. Don't ever want to hurt anyone. Let me revise that. But you do want to make sure the next time they got to go make a catch, those hands maybe come in a little bit. You get those alligator arms. That's what I want to see from these wide receivers, is just bludgeon them until they refuse to go out for those routes anymore.
Yeah, we do not endorse Bounty Gate here on Locked On Ravens. No worries. I know you don't either. But no, I completely agree. You have to be physical, and you have to make sure that the Bills wide receivers, they know that you're there. You know, if Buffalo has their way with Baltimore's corners, you know, they start to be able to produce at a high level. You know, Baltimore doesn't want to get in that situation. If you enforce your will physically and make sure that these Bills receivers know that, all right, this is going to be a tough physical game, it makes sometimes all the difference in the world. But Matthew, looking ahead to final score predictions here before we wrap up, I mean, this game, I do think it has the potential to be the best playoff matchup of the whole AFC playoffs. People talk about Baltimore, Kansas City, or Buffalo, Kansas City. I think this Baltimore-Buffalo matchup here, it's going to be a great game. How do you see this one going for the Ravens? Do they make it to the AFC Championship game, or do they go home?
I'm going to go out on a bold limb. I did it last week, and you know what? They won, so the bad juju is here, is gone. So I'm going to go out on another bold claim here. I think you just got done, if you're Baltimore, you just got done shutting down the number two rushing attack in Derrick Henry, Baltimore's number one. Now you got to go up against the third best passing attack and a very hot Josh Allen, by the way. He is just doing phenomenally over the last few weeks, whereas Patrick Mahomes has had some slip ups. He's, you know, obviously got a week of rest. We'll see exactly how he performs in that Kansas City offense. You're making a dramatic switch there. This is going to test Baltimore's defense more than I think any other series of games this season has. If Baltimore can beat Buffalo, and I think they will, I'm saying they're Super Bowl bound. I think they could take out Kansas City or Cleveland next week because they'll have the ability to shut down the run and shut down a high-flying passing attack, as well as that offense, Baltimore's offense, being able to hit its stride and start doing the things that it wants to do. I think Baltimore, if they win this game, is going to Super Bowl LV, baby. So I'm going to say Baltimore 30, Buffalo 24. It's a close game, but Baltimore just beats them down throughout 60 minutes of football. And in that fourth quarter is when it makes the biggest difference, when Buffalo is just tired of getting punched in the face, when they're tired of having to tackle J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, when they're tired of having to chase Lamar Jackson all over this field, when the offense is just tired of having Sean Elliott hit them and Marcus Peters and Humphrey and Smith lay hands on them at the line of scrimmage. When they're tired of that stuff, that's when you see Baltimore just boom, 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 hammer the game out there in the fourth quarter, pick up that extra touchdown that they need, and just go ahead and milk the clock for everything that it's worth. I'm saying Baltimore 30, Buffalo 24.
Close, hard fought, and physical. I completely agree, Matthew. I'm going 30 to 27. So we're kind of close on our final score predictions there. But, you know, I completely agree. This is a game that I think determines the Super Bowl representative from the AFC, whether it is Buffalo, whether it is Baltimore. I think whoever wins this game goes to the Super Bowl in the AFC. So whether that is Lamar Jackson, whether that is Josh Allen, you know, those two young quarterbacks have an opportunity here to go out and prove that they are the best from their draft class. You know, a lot of people are going to take this game and deem the winner the best quarterback of that class from here on out, or at least for a couple months at least, until one can do something to dethrone the other. So I think that if Lamar Jackson wins this game, again, it's another great feat for his resume. And I think they go out, Baltimore does, and they win this football game. Again, a hard-fought, close, and physical game, 30 to 27. But Matthew, that's all that I have for you today. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And as you mentioned at the beginning of the program, if the Ravens win, they go to the AFC Championship game. And hopefully we're back here talking next week about that matchup.
Absolutely, man. And you know what? Look, I haven't been wrong very often this season when it comes to Ravens football. So might as well start buying them tickets to a Super Bowl game that I don't know if they're actually letting people in. But I think it's Baltimore is going to be rolling from here on out, man. They found their swagger, and I think we're going to be back next week talking about another week of football.
Yeah, we're not going to get into my record prediction for Baltimore this season, but you know what? I'm going to trust you here. You know, you have not been wrong a lot this season, and I'm going to roll with you 30 to 27, 30 to 24. I think, you know, if the Ravens put up 30 points and win, we'll be pretty happy. But that's all that I have for you today. We're going to take a two-day break here on Locked On Ravens, and when we get back on Monday, we'll be talking about everything that happened in Baltimore's Saturday night matchup with the Buffalo Bills. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you on Monday.